of all in the book of Psalms, and Psalm number 14. Psalm number 14. And we'll just read from verse 1. Psalm number 14 and verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. I want to read also in the New Testament and in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. At the beginning of the chapter, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Finally, Mark's Gospel and chapter 5. Mark's Gospel and chapter 5. The story of the woman that touched the hem of his garment. But I just want to read a couple of verses. Luke, Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And it says here in verse 31. Verse 31. And his disciples said unto him, that's unto the Lord Jesus, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Now that's all I want to read tonight with the Lord's blessing. I know we have read three very different scriptures tonight, but I just want you to think that in these verses that we have read, we have the Lord looking in three different directions. In Psalm number 14, it tells us that the Lord looked down from heaven. I want you to think about that. And then it tells us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, that when the Lord Jesus came to the foot of that tree where Zacchaeus had climbed into, it tells us that he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. We have read that, or part of that story of the woman in Mark chapter 5 that touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible says a lovely thing, that he looked round. He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Three different looks of the Lord. He looked down, he looked up, and he looked round. Psalm number 14, you'll read just about the exact words in Psalm 53 as well. But the psalmist said that the Lord looked down from heaven. It is amazing in the first place that he even would look our way. The marvel that we see his concern for us. The Lord looked down from heaven. And the Bible tells us he looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did understand and that did seek God. And you know, the answer to that, the Bible says that they're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. What a picture. What an observation. When the Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did understand and that did seek God. You know, this evening, the reality is that whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, there is one thing that's very evident and very clear, is the fact of the ruin of man and the sin of the human nature and the fact that we all stand before the gaze of a holy God as being condemned. And as Romans 3 reminds us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know tonight it's very basic what we're speaking about. And yet, you know, if you don't have the basic, you'll not be able to get the rest. And the basic fundamental truth of our Bible is that this whole human race stands guilty in sin and because of sin before God. The Lord looked down from heaven to see. They're all gone aside. They've all gone in the wrong direction. He says, they're all together become filthy. What a description. The depravity. Not only have they gone in the wrong direction, but before God, the depravity of man. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their deeds. You know, I was thinking today of Romans chapter 3 and some of those amazing statements that are made in Romans chapter 3 that describe you and me as we appear before God. I sometimes think and call it God's great x-ray of man, how he really is before God. It shows us as we really are. You know, I remember many years ago, a lad at school in the town of Macrofelt, and you'll never have heard of that place probably, but in the county of County Derry. And I remember one afternoon as a lad, we were in the sports field and I was doing the high jump. Now, it just doesn't mean because you're high or tall that you're good at the high jump. But I was trying my best, and I remember I went over the bar and I landed on my hand like that, and I felt my wrist move up my arm. And so I knew there was something wrong. Now, of course, it's probably a lot different today. Nobody took me up to the hospital, but I walked it myself about a mile and went into this little room, the x-ray room. And of course, it showed up that my wrist was cracked. Now, I couldn't see it visibly, but the x-ray showed what I couldn't see. And you know, tonight, God's word shows what men sometimes cannot see. And it shows us as we really are before God. It doesn't matter what age we are, what stage of life we are. The fact is this tonight, that all of us are born with that sinful nature and born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And because of that, every last one of us need a Savior and need forgiveness. The Lord looked down from heaven to see. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. You know, Romans 3 tells us this, that there is none that understandeth. That's the mind. There's none that seeketh after God. That's the heart. There's none that doeth good. That's the will. The mind, the heart, the will. We stand guilty before God. But I want to tell you this tonight. The great message of the gospel, you know, that the Lord who looked down was the Lord who came down. And we sang that hymn tonight, down from the glory, the Savior came down to the cross and the death of shame. Oh, the wonder is tonight that the one who looked down and saw us in our sin and saw us in our state was the one who came down. He came down to where we were. The Bible says that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Boys and girls, men and women, it doesn't matter, you see. The gospel crosses every age barrier. There's a Savior for us all tonight. The Lord who looked down was the Lord who came down. In John chapter 6, at least three times in that chapter, he speaks about having come down from heaven. He could say, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. We're glad tonight that he ever looked down, his concern for us. We're glad this evening that he ever came down, his condescension, down from the glory, the Savior came. But you know, the Bible goes further than that. It tells us that the one who came down was the one who laid down his life on the cross. We all love John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But you know, there's another John 3 and 16. 1 John chapter 3 verse 16. What does it say? Hereby we perceive the love of God in that he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. My, the marvel is this tonight. Hereby we perceive the love of God, that he laid down his life for us. For the Lord to look down, that was something. But for the Lord to come down, how marvelous that was, that he should ever come to where we were. But you know, tonight, his birth could not save us. You know, sometimes when it comes round to Christmas time, there are many people maybe in some way think about the birth of Christ. And in the world in which we live, you know, it's even something when people think about Christ in any way at all, the world in which we live. But you know, so often people, they just think about the cradle and they don't go any further. Now the fact is this tonight, it is a wonder that he did come. And he came to the lowliness of a cattle shed and an outside place, that there was no room for them in the inn. But you know, the fact is this tonight, that the cradle could not save us. And if a person only gets in their thinking, my, to the cradle, to the babe that lay there in that manger, you'll have to get further than that. You have to get to the cross. You know, someone has said that Bethlehem was that Calvary might be. And the great fact is this, that he came to the lowliness of a cattle shed. But the great purpose in his coming was to go to the cross. And so John, 1 John 3 says, hereby we perceive the love of God in that he laid down his life for us. Oh, tonight, think about it. He looked down his concern for you. He came down his condescension. He laid down his compassion. He gave himself. You know the Lord Jesus in John chapter 10. At least three times over, he speaks about laying down his life. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. He says, I lay down my life that I might take it again. My, he says, I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was one who laid down his life. A willing sacrifice for you and me. He looked down. He came down. He laid down. But tonight he has sat down. And the Bible tells us that this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. That tells me of his conquest. He has sat down. And whether you take it one way or the other way, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, that's right. Or whether you take it, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down, that's right as well. The fact is this, he has sat down. A work completed. You see, at the cross, when he laid down his life, you know, he paid all. He did all. He settled all. He completed all. He finished all. And he has sat down. That's why there's a gospel to preach tonight. The cross is vacant. The tomb is empty. We often say, you know, that men emptied the cross to fill the tomb. But God emptied the tomb to fill the throne. He has sat down on the right hand of God. There's one tonight, you know, he has triumphed over death, hell, and the grave. The Lord who looked down. But very quickly, I want you to think of that day that he came to Jericho and the crowds were filled with curiosity And in that crowd, there was a little man called Zacchaeus. We often say, you know, the little man with the big bank book, he had everything, as it were, as regards this world. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And that was a great desire. I wonder, is there anyone here tonight would like to be saved? I wonder tonight, is there a boy or girl, man or woman here listening? And tonight you would like to be saved, that you would have a desire like this little man, Zacchaeus, who sought to see Jesus. The crowd was so big, and he was too small. And he ran before and climbed up into that sycamore tree. And the Lord Jesus came to the place. And the Bible says that he looked up. And he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. You know, tonight, what the Lord said when he looked up, he said, Zacchaeus, I wonder who told the Lord his name. Nobody. He knew it. He knows your name tonight. He not only knew his name, he knew his need. And he said, Zacchaeus, that was personal. You know, tonight, it is personal. My parents, who are in heaven tonight, were saved years before I was born. But you know, when I was 11 years of age, I had to come myself to Christ. It's personal. My wife was only 8 years of age when she trusted Christ as Savior. It's personal. Zacchaeus. You know, our Bible opens with a man under a tree. Adam and Eve, who had sinned, and the Lord came down into Eden's garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve, they hid themselves beneath the trees of the garden, and the Lord called out. What did he say? Adam, where art thou? Personal. The same Lord that called Adam was the same Lord that said, Zacchaeus. It's personal. It's an individual thing. My, that you must trust him for yourself. Zacchaeus, that was personal. Make haste. That was urgent. It was not only a personal call, it was an urgent call. You've got to make haste. You know, there's a lot of people really, and they sometimes think, as regards being saved and getting right with God, that it'll do later on, some other time, when I'm older. Listen tonight, it's urgent. You know, the night that I got saved in a meeting just simply like this, on a summer's evening, on the 25th of August, 1966, that night in the meeting, I trusted Christ. And the old hall, it was then just an old tin hall. And the old halls then used to be full to the door. And now there's big new halls, and there's not the same people. And that night I went home into the car with the rest of the family, never said a word. Went to bed, went to sleep. Next morning, I went down the stairs. I was brought up on a farm. And the old farmhouse is still there. I told my mother how I'd got saved. But you know, the interesting thing was this. My older brother, just of 2 years and a few months, later on that morning, he came and he told mother that he had got saved as well. Now she was beginning to wonder then. Well, you know, her wondering ceased as time went on. But the thing is this. My brother that night, in the middle of the night, lying in the bed beside me, I was asleep. Do you know what was happening to him? He was struggling. And he was telling God, just let me get a few more years and see a bit of the world and do a few things, and then I'll get saved. But he would tell you, if he was here tonight, that night, as he lay there struggling and wrestling and debating with God, he realized something that he might never have another opportunity. And that night, he trusted Christ. There's an urgency. Zacchaeus, that's personal. Make haste, that's urgent. Come down, that's humbling. You know, there's no room for pride at the cross. The Bible says that the proud he knoweth afar off. If a soul is going to be saved, they must just realize that I'm a lost sinner. And I deserve to perish. But Christ has died for me. Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down. You know, there's so many people and they're not prepared to admit or acknowledge the fact that I need God, that I'm a sinner, that I'm condemned as I am, that I'm on the broad road leading to destruction. I need to come down. There's an old hymn we sing. It was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing and my sins were washed away. Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down. You've got to come down. For today, I must abide at thy house. It was assuring. I love that word, abide. You know, there's a Savior tonight who'll not only save you, but he'll stay with you. He abides. He looked down. He looked up. But I want you to think about this for a few minutes. The woman that came through the crowd. It's an amazing contrast, you know. The Bible says about Zacchaeus that he ran before, and yet it says about this woman that she came behind. The absolute opposite. He ran before, the woman came behind, but the fact is this, they both had a desire to get right with God. They both had a desire to get to Christ. And you know that day, and I'm not going into all the story, but that woman that touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole. And the Bible says this. I think it's tremendous. It says that he looked round. He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Now I want to ask you tonight, have you ever done this thing? You say, what thing? Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you ever come to Him? He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. You see, the Lord knew, and the woman knew, and the disciples didn't know, but they don't have to know. As long as the Lord knows and you know, that's it. She's done this thing. What thing? Well, she touched the hem of his garment. You know, tonight, this thing, as I close, this thing that the woman did, it was very simple. You couldn't get anything more simple. She just simply touched his clothes. You see, the fact is that she came in contact with Christ. And this Bible is as clear as ABC. If tonight, if you want to get to heaven, you've got to get to Christ, because He's the way. He's the door that has done this thing. This thing that the woman did was simple. But I'll tell you this, it was needful. It was needful. Ah, that's it. You need Christ tonight. You need the Savior. And how simple it was, but how needful it was. Oh, that someone tonight, that you would do this thing. Have you ever done this thing? What this woman did was simple, was needful, but this thing that the woman did, it was incredible. She was made whole. In a moment, instantaneously, no delay. Let me say this tonight. You could be saved before you leave this hall tonight. It was incredible that this thing that the woman did was as simple. You know, some people are trying to do big things, that somehow they may by and by gain favor with God and get into heaven. And some people, my, they would climb a mountain. You know, in the south of Ireland, on a certain day every year, there's thousands of people that gather to climb Croagh-Patrick Mountain. Rough and rugged and rocky, they climb it on their hands and knees. And before the day is through, they're scarred and bleeding. What's it all for? To try and gain them a place in heaven by and by. Let me tell you this tonight. There's a man who has already climbed the mountain. And he was scarred. And he was wounded. And he was bruised. Wounded for our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace laid upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Let me tell you this tonight. You don't have to climb a mountain. You don't have to pay a penny piece. You don't have to do any great thing. For Christ has done it all. Oh, that you would embrace it tonight. He looked round. About. To see her that had done this thing. I challenge you again tonight before we go. Have you ever done this thing? Have you ever bowed as a sinner before the Lord Jesus, who loves you and died for you, and trusted him? May God help someone tonight just to do this thing. Shall we pray? Lord, we give thee thanks for the greatness of thy heart of love to us who were so far away.